CD out or anything, but just checking and praise God. And I happened to glance back at an end pack, and it said, Seven Habits of Highly Effective Teenagers. And I thought to myself, wow, what's that about? So I opened the book, took a picture of it, because believe it or not, I know how to take a picture on a phone now. And number two messed me up. Yeah, first of all, they don't have any VHS tapes there. That's a mistake. But anyway, number two said this, begin with the end in mind. That messed me up. Because I thought to myself, got a great group of teenagers, got a great group of adults here. Does everybody understand what the end is going to be? What's going to happen at the end of our lives? Because I shared with you, I did a lot of studying a couple weeks ago, and I shared with you statistic that 100% of us are going to die. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Seriously. So I thought, you know, and then verses start coming into my mind. In fact, I have some teenagers that are going to come up and read a couple verses, because I want you to understand, you know, if we're talking about pursuing for the prize or reaching for the prize or living this life, one day something's going to happen. So number one person want to come up here? Number one teenager? Who has the number one sheet? It should say little one, Acts 17. Come on up, man. One of the shortest guys in the youth group, Mitchell. Praise God. Thank you. Nice shirt, man. You get that at Barnes & Noble? I'm only kidding. Go ahead.
Do I read it?
Yeah, go ahead. Hey, Mike. Amen. Yeah. Go ahead.
Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you, Mitchell. Beautiful. Seriously. And you notice man is capitalized. Who does the man stand for there? Talk to me now. Give me a name. Jesus, through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. This is having the end in mind. All right, who's next? Number two. Is that Romans? All right, Katarina. Very cute. Katarina.
But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then one of us will give an account of himself to God.
Beautiful. The end in mind. The end in mind. The next one, number three. Praise God. Wow. Beautiful. Didn't I just dunk you a month or so ago? Go ahead.
Okay. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home, absent, to be pleasing him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that we each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Isn't that beautiful? Wow. Your dad had that on video, man. I got a feeling he's going to be bringing that video up at certain times, you know what I'm saying, to share with you. Begin with the end in mind. And the guy's name was Stephen Covey, and I, you know, looked him up, and I found out he was a Mormon. I found out he was killed on a bicycle. I mean, I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, but He didn't have the right end in mind. You know, he wrote Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, then Teenagers, but he didn't have the right end in mind because he chose the Mormon faith over the Christian faith. So to have the right end in mind is you have to have Christ as your Savior, no doubt about it. You need to repent of your sins. You need to ask him in your heart. And I'm thinking, you know, we want to pursue this prize. So if you're a teenager now and you understand that one day you'll stand before God and give an account on the things you've done in your body, whether good or bad. Now, that 2 Corinthians 5:9-10 is not about whether you're going to heaven or hell or not. Because when you repent of your sins and ask Christ in your heart, the price has been paid by the blood of Christ. you understand that, you're still going to give an account on what you did with the time He gave you, the finances He gave you, the talents He gave you. So know that now in your teenage years, that every decision you make, everything you're going to be involved in, that one day you're going to stand before Him and give an account. So have the end when you start, when you begin, have the end in mind. When you wake up every day and you begin the day, have the end in mind, knowing Christ paid the price for your sins, knowing that you have this opportunity to live on this, you know, free land called United States, to live your life out for His purposes. And He has a purpose and plan for every one of you. You know, in your email Friday, I talked about an epitaph. You know, could this been Paul's epitaph? Would he want this written on his tombstone? I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. So he had the end in mind when he was living here. And I want to encourage this generation with Paul said in 1 Timothy 6, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold. Take hold of eternal life for which you were called and you were made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So before I get into this message today, I still feel like I have to talk about the end. And you know, I hope you write this verse down, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 5. I just want to share it with you because I think it coincides with begin with the end in mind. Because he says this in 1 Peter 4, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves. And he's talking to everyone who's sitting in here today. He's talking to everyone who calls himself a believer, who's a child of God. Arm yourself with that same purpose, meaning he suffered in the flesh. Arm ourselves with the same purpose. Why? Because he who had suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. So as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer in the lust of men, because as you're growing through your teenage years and you're going to high school, you're going to junior high school, you're going to college. Oh my gosh, college. How do they do it in college? So as to live the rest of your time in flesh, no longer. Here's what's going to happen if you're not living Christ. Lust of men. But live for the will of God, for the time has already passed is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. And here's the things we're going to fight. Here's the things in the world that's going to try to grab a hold of us. Having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. Anything coming to your mind when I'm reading those things? Any college campuses coming to your mind when I read those things? Sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. In all this, they're going to be surprised at you, Joey Leveling, that you do not run with them or in the same excess of dispensation, and they'll malign you. They'll make fun of you. You know, if you're standing up for Christ and you're a part of a youth group and you're going out into the public school and you're living your life for Christ, you're going to be maligned. You're going to be made fun of. You might be bullied. You might be text, you know, bullied things and stuff. Don't run with them. Don't be a part of that. Don't be a part of that access that the world's trying to pull you in. And then verse 5 says it all. Have the end when you begin. Have the end in your mind, because they will give an account to Him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. And mostly all those verses that were read to you today was for believers. If you want to read Revelations, I believe it's chapter 20, 11 through 15, you'll read what the judgment will be like for those who don't know Christ, for those who haven't surrendered their lives for Christ, for those who haven't asked Jesus to forgive them of their sins. In the book of Acts, Paul said this, but I do not consider my life of any account as dear to myself, so that I may finish my course in the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus, to testify solemnly of the gospel of the grace of God. And when I read that verse, I'm thinking, man, there was a song when I was growing up, because, man, when I was your age in high school, it was all about, you know, Four Tops, Jackie Wilson, Wilson Pickett, had all those 45s playing. And I thought about a song, I Just Want to Testify. I put it on a sheet in your listening guide. There's a, I believe, a salmon-colored sheet. Praise God. What color is it? Blue. I just want to testify by the parliaments. And all you have to do is change a couple words. You know, I'll probably get in trouble for that. But all you have to do is change a couple words. Listen to this. Friends, inquisitive friends, are asking me, what's come over me? A change. There's been a change. And oh, it's so plain to see. Love just walked in on me and took me by surprise. Happiness surrounds me. You can see it in my eyes. Now, it was just a little while ago, my life was incomplete. I was down, so doggone low, I had to look up at my feet. Don't you know, I want to testify what your love has done for me. Everybody's saying, I just want to testify, oh Jesus, what your love has done for me. Hear me now. Yeah, he's been so wonderful to me. I mean, the Lord will use a donkey to speak, to give praises. And you can even go into old songs and look at, you know, that song is powerful. Now, I found out later, you know, they became a group. I don't think they were Christian. The Funkadelics, praise God. I don't think they were Christians. But, I mean, that song ministered to me. Once I was a hollow man in which a lonely heart did dwell, then love came sneaking up on me, bringing hope to an empty shell. Anybody relate to that? Is that anybody's life here? Now that I've heard so many times before that your love can be so bad, but I just wanted to tell you, people, it's the best love I ever had. Talking about Jesus. Now, a couple weeks ago when we were in Philippians 3, 4 through 11 that we looked at earlier in September, Paul recited in those verses his impressive religious credentials. Then dramatically he compared, and we looked at it, I think it was 3 weeks ago, that the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, that all those achievements were mere rubbish. Rubbish don't mean a thing. And you're listening, God, I put Paul exchange his useless human achievements for the knowledge, for righteousness, for power, for fellowship, for the glory of the Lord Jesus. Is that anybody in here today? Is there anybody who want to exchange all that stuff that you've gained through your life and you realize it's really not that important? It's knowing Christ. It's living for Christ. It's having that power. You know, it says in Acts, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you will be my witnesses. He's looking for witnesses, man. And when the people in Philippi probably heard Paul saying that, they might have mistakenly assumed that because of all those marvelous benefits that he had reached some kind of spiritual perfection as Paul. The Judaizers probably would say in that day, well, you had to be circumcised and keep the law. And then there was also a heretic group, I call them the MSNBC group, that teach that spiritual perfection awaits those who attain a certain level of knowledge. And they called them the Gnostics. You know, they were the perfect ones, you know. But when you confess and you repent of your sins and ask Christ in your heart, it becomes hope for you. It becomes a life purpose for you. And you have the opportunity to live this life in front of your friends who don't know Christ, in front of your other family members, possibly spouses that don't know Christ. And then you just live that life in that same half sheet. I wrote it down because I didn't want to, you know, I gave Donna so many slides today. She was in here for 3 hours. When you become a Christian, you're a new creation. I just want to give you things to realize what you have when you receive Christ. You look on that half sheet, you become a new creation. You get a new heart. You have a new disposition that strongly desires holiness. And you become united with Christ and you possess a renewed mind. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. We've been justified. We've been forgiven. We have Christ's righteousness imputed in us. And we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We're not perfect. And that's what I'm trying to get across to you today. Even though we have all that stuff, we're still not perfect. We're subject to temptation. We're still possessed with this unredeemed flesh that Paul calls the tent that we live in. We're still fighting that, and we're still sinners. Paul said to Timothy when he was raising him up to be a minister, he said, it's a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. That's a humble person. That was Paul. That's what he wanted to get across to the people of Philippians. He wanted to get across to Timothy that I'm the worst of all. So far from having obtained this perfection, Paul was pursuing it with all his might. And that's my prayer for us, myself, every day. Like Peter, Paul understood that the Christian life is a lifelong process of growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He said in the last verse in 2 Peter, but grow. That's why we have community groups here. That's why we have Bible studies here. That's why we do everything we can to promote things happening so we can get people gathered around together so that they can get into the Word. Which brings me to the men's stay retreat coming up. I'd like to do a little bit of commercial about that. When you leave the service today, there'll be some flyers on the back. And we're going to spend Friday night here at the church. Come in here at 6:30. You're going to have dinner. You don't have to pay any money. You'll get, you know, at least four meals. Dinner Friday night, lunch, breakfast, dinner Saturday. When I'm sitting in with the guys on Wednesday night here, we're having such great conversation. We're all pursuing the same thing, knowing Christ more. And I'm sure the Saturday morning men that come here, the same thing. Am I right, Eric? Want nothing else but to fellowship with one another and pursue Christ and grow in our relationship with God. And I made this statement to the guys the last couple Wednesday nights. I wish we could have an all-nighter. Remember me saying that, Ernie? I wish we could have an all-nighter to go over Scripture. And I woke up today thinking, we're going to have an all-nighter, man. We're going to have an all-nighter here Friday, October, I believe it's 14th, if I have the date right. So when you leave here, Jason Marino will be back there. Jim Savey will be back there. Sign up. We're going to get in the Word all night. Seriously. And then we might go out, you know, do a little bit of work around the church. We'll probably go out and play some softball or something. You know, knock some home runs for Jesus. Praise God. Sign up. It'll be an opportunity if you hang out with guys, you know, and grow. You know, just like the ladies coming in here on Tuesday morning. I love seeing them come in. Tuesday morning, Wednesday night. We want nothing else but to provide an opportunity, because I know I'm going to stand before God one day and give an account. What did you do with the people that came to my church, Jesus' church? What did you do? Did you allow them to get plugged in to Jesus? Did you allow them to get plugged in with one another and grow in their faith? That's when I'm going to stand before God. Did you love them, Nick? Did you text them? Did you call them? Did you say, hey, come and be a part of this. You can grow. Perfectionism is a teaching that believers can reach a place of spiritual and moral perfection in this life. That's garbage, man. We're never going to be perfect. We're always going to be striving to be holier, to be more obedient, or to know Him or to love Him. And I look at Paul. He was undoubtedly the most committed, the most dedicated, spiritual, mature Christian who maybe ever lived. And he confessed gladly that he failed to reach spiritual perfection 30 years after his conversion. And Scripture teaches us that any violations of God's law, whatever the intent, is sin. No Christian is ever going to become perfect in this life. But we await, we have that hope that we're going to have that redemption and we're going to have that new body. Perfection in this life will always be a goal. Yeah, I want to be perfect. I want to be the best husband I can be. I want to be the best friend I can be. I want to be the best neighbor I can be. I want to be, you know, the best pastor I can be. It's always going to be my goal, but it's never going to be an achievement. Because if we say we do not sin, we've got a lot of pride in us. If we say we do not sin, we make God out a liar. And you can see that in 1 John chapter 1. Now, some people may question that they should bother to pursue spiritual growth. After all, you know, ladies are going through Peter. I thought about that. In 1 Peter 1:4, we're promised an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will never fade away, reserved in heaven for you. I get excited about that. that those of us that are as children, our name is in heaven. Our name is in a book. And we're going to go to heaven, and that's going to be the end. Spiritual children, like physical children, cannot help but grow. They have a built-in desire and drive for growth. 1 Peter 2 says this, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and all hypocrisy and envy and all slander, put all that stuff aside. And like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow up. Grow in respect to salvation. Now, there's several compelling reasons that Christians must grow. I put that on your half sheet. It's like I wanted you to walk away with this stuff on a sheet so you understand it. Why should we grow? Why do we get in Bible studies? Why do we fellowship? Why do we get in community groups? Because it glorifies God. It provides evidence that our salvation is genuine. It adorns and makes visible the truth of God to others. And I put some verses in there you can look at later. Fourth, it brings assurance to our salvation because we want nothing else but to grow in Him. It preserves believers from sorrow and suffering associated with spiritual immaturity. It protects the cause of Christ from reproach. It produces joy in believers' lives. That's why we study. It equips us for ministry and to others in the body of Christ. It enhances the witness to the lost world. I just want to testify. I just want to testify. If the band could come forward here, because I really want to stop right now. And I just want to worship, man. And I want to pray, because I've been praying that someone here is going to want that. Someone here today is going to want Christ as their Savior. Someone's in here today say, man, the things of this world is really not fulfilling me. I have a lot of stuff, but I'm still empty inside. I don't understand about this Jesus, but this old guy's up at the pulpit today saying, I need to repent of my sins and receive Him into my heart. And I want nothing else but the gospel to be shared today. That people would come forward and maybe even pray for someone they know who don't know the Lord, who doesn't know the Lord, has never surrendered their life to Christ. And I want that. Ushers, come up. We'll take an offering. Then I just want to spend 25 minutes. I want to know if there's any prayer warriors in here. I want to know if there's anybody in here that knows somebody else that doesn't know Christ. It might even be your husband. It might even be your wife. It might even be your child. It might even be your neighbor that doesn't have a relationship with God, and they don't understand about the end. They don't understand that everyone will stand before God and give an account. Praise God. I think I'm going to... Thanks for playing that. I think I'm going to read. Just trying to let go today. And I'm just trying to realize, if you leave this world and you don't know Christ, the Bible tells you what's going to happen. And it's in Revelation 20. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it. Him from whose... Man, I'm having trouble seeing up here, man. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away. No place was found for them. Can you understand that? People who don't know Christ and haven't surrendered their life to Christ, they're going to be fleeing. They're going to be fleeing. There's a place in Revelation that says the rocks are going to cry out that Jesus is Lord. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. Thanks, man. I love this guy, man. Hey, sign up with him after the... Praise God. Thank you. Which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. You can get a light on your phone, man. Praise God. And judged, and the things were written in the books according to their deeds. And then the sea gave up the dead were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead which were in it. And they were judged, every one of them, according to their deeds. You see death and Hades? When you leave this world and you don't have Christ, your soul immediately goes to Hades. And you're in Hades waiting for that judgment day, crying, gnashing of teeth, understanding, why didn't I commit my life to Christ? Why did I think money or power or knowledge or prestige or stuff was going to help me do that? And then it says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown in the lake of fire. And I read that today because you got to realize it. That's what's going to happen to those who don't receive the free gift that Christ paid for you by dying on the cross and have his blood spilled down to pay the price of your sins. And I want to know if there's somebody here today that wants that hope in their lives. They don't seem to have hope. I've had people come up here and pray for their dads or their moms or their kids or their neighbors to know Christ. I want to know if there's any prayer warriors here today that want to see a change in someone's heart. Father, I lift up this offering to you. Father, I thank you for just all you're doing in this place. Father, I'm passionate about you today, Father. I have an urgency in my spirit about you today, Father. Worried that someone came in this your house in which we dedicated to Christ and we want to live out our faith and we want to walk in faith because your word said without faith it's impossible to please you, for he that comes to him must believe that he is and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seeks you. So Father, I'm praying for diligence today in our men. I'm praying for diligence today in our women. I'm praying for diligence today in our teenagers. I'm praying that as we looked at those verses today that we're going to stand before God and give an account. Why do we spend the time judging other people when we should be examining our own hearts and sharing the reason for the hope that we have with gentleness and respect, Father? So I pray that we become that kind of church. It's so passionate about knowing Christ, growing in Christ, sharing in Christ, and taking Christ outside these walls, Father. So we don't have to think about being politically correct, but think about being biblically correct and knowing the scriptures and having them on our hearts. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And Father, I pray that that light will shine bright just like that light shined on the scriptures just now, Lord. That when we open up the Bible, the light will shine bright and that the Holy Spirit will take those things and help us to remember. So Father, I pray that you bless our offering. Father, I pray that you bless our prayer time. Father, I know there's a lot of prayer warriors here that want to come and pray for people, Father. Thank you, Lord, and I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.